Diving right back into it, you can go to our poll question today. Is Josh Allen the one opposing quarterback that gives you doubt, Kansas City fans? Yes or no? 63.8% leaning towards yes as the one quarterback that does give you doubt.
It ain't Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, I'll tell you that.
Come on. Come on. He missed some time. We're now joined by Sal Capaccio of WGR Buffalo and the Bills sideline reporter. Sal, how you doing, my man?
I'm pretty good today. Very cold here in Buffalo this week. Getting a little warmer. It's going to be warmer in Kansas City, I think, this weekend than we had here for Sunday's game. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's 50 degrees warmer today in Kansas City than it was yesterday because yesterday was negative 11. Today it is 9. So we got a heat front coming on.
Yeah, it's getting a little warmer by the time you're standing on those sidelines. It's going to be pushing about 40 degrees on Sunday afternoon. So, Sal, what's the feeling, man? What's the conversation like in Buffalo right now?
I think the conversation is, you know, simply one of you got to finally do this, right? I mean, you have a chance to go to Arrowhead and, you know, slay the dragon. And we've been here before, whether it's in Buffalo or in Kansas City. We know how the seasons have ended. I think there's a lot of, you know, there's confidence that the Bills can beat the Chiefs because they have beaten the Chiefs. But there's also a lot of nervousness because we know how things have turned out in the past in these types of situations. I think there's also the element of, hey, do it for America, as you guys know, right? I mean, that's what the people just don't want to see the Chiefs there again. And, you know, I just think there's so much that goes on in this matchup, in this game, and all the different storylines with it. But that's really what it comes down to, guys, is, hey, you know you can beat this team, but you haven't done it in this situation, and now it's time.
Yeah, it's funny because earlier in the show I said that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is playing with the weight of a three-peat on his shoulders. Josh Allen is playing with the weight of America on his shoulders. I mean, seriously, though, how are they handling that, knowing the whole country other than here is rooting for Buffalo in this one?
Yeah, I don't think that matters inside the building of One Bills Drive. I think what I've really loved about, really all through Sean McDermott's tenure, since he's been here for 8 years, I've always felt that Sean is very much like Andy Reid, just a consistent approach, right? They have this, and he's learned a lot from Andy, of course, in coaching with him. And you just take it 1 week at a time, one game at a time. And I know that's a cliche. I get it. But I really think this team has done a really good job of that this year. And pretty much for the most part of McDermott's tenure. So I don't think they let that kind of creep in. It's really about them and what their goals are, what they're trying to accomplish. And going there. But certainly it's, you know, people will be down there today and practice. And I don't know if something like that will come up, but if it does, I'm sure they'll say, look, they're just trying to go 1-0 this week. That's what Josh Allen's mantra is every week.
Both these rosters will look different than the last time they played in week 11. Obviously that is a underlining story in this outside of Allen and Mahomes going head to head is the game of the year. But look, Milano's going to be there. He'll get to go up against Travis Kelce. You also have to deal with Charles Omenihue on the Chiefs side, who's been a valuable piece of this defensive line since he's been here. George Karlaftis, 7 sacks, obviously 3 of those last week. What's the biggest difference when you add these guys to these rosters for each team?
Yeah, it's really interesting. From my count, and this I'll credit Thad Brown, who covers the team from Rochester here in Buffalo. He tweeted yesterday, here's who the players for the Bills missed and the Kansas City Chiefs missed in the last game. There's 5 really notable players for each team. For the Bills, Matt Milano, Spencer Brown, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, and Juwan Smoot. None of them played. For the Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco, Marquise Brown, Jalen Watson, Charles Omenihue, Harrison Butker. I mean, really, like that's a totally different, you know, it's you know, basically 5 out of 11 guys if you want to go one side of the ball there. Either way, for the Bills, I think Spencer Brown being out that game was big. Now, listen, Ryan Vandermark did a really nice job. But Spencer Brown is a really good right tackle, guys, and he helps their running game a ton. And one of the biggest differences was the Bills could not run the ball against the Chiefs that game. And, you know, outside of Josh Allen, I think they had less than 3 yards a carry. But the Bills have been very good running the ball most of the year. They've been very good against the 2 best rush defenses in the NFL the last 2 playoff games. They did a really good job against the Broncos and the Ravens. That's been a major, you know, difference. And, of course, having Keon Coleman available, and then, of course, Matt Milano, right? We know that Matt is a really fantastic linebacker. He's used as a spy a lot. They've spied Patrick Mahomes a lot in the past with Dorian Williams or Matt Milano. On the other side, you know, defending Marquise Brown and his speed and defending Isaiah Pacheco and the way he runs, you know, obviously those are going to be, you know, and Jalen Watson. We all know these are really good players for both these sides. I do wonder, I'll ask you guys, we're trying to, because I think that, you know, Spencer Brown in the run game helping out, have the Chiefs been leaky lately on defense and the run game? Because the numbers suggest that, but I'm not sure if that's the case. I go back to the Cleveland game and I see how their yards per carry has really shot up against them, and I don't know what to make of that.
I think what you're looking at is a team that doesn't care what they give up as long as you don't get into the end zone, and then you get inside that 20-yard line, then they batten down the hatches, and so they like it really is. Like I've told people for the last couple of years, they don't care about the regular season either, so whatever happens, happens. They're just focusing on getting in, you know, to the postseason, but defensively for this team, it really is. I mean, it's a tease for a lot of people because it feels like you're moving the ball down the field, and then all of a sudden you get inside that red zone and they go, all right, not today. You know, sorry, go back the other direction or settle for a field goal at this point in time. So that's what I think it is. I think it also has to do with boredom towards the end of the season. They're ready for the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I will say this. The Bills are very similar on defense, but the difference isn't necessarily the red zone. They've been good there. It's turnovers. I mean, the Bills have just made, they've just turned teams over all year, and they do not give you the ball. That's been the biggest difference with this Bills team, I think, than in years past, especially with Josh Allen and some of the turnovers he's had, you know, early on. And he's been really great in the playoffs throughout his career, not turning the ball over. But if you look at the turnover differential, and again, last week, look what happened. The Ravens turned the ball over three times. You see the punch out from Terrell Bernard. I mean, these are things the Bills, you know, you don't rely on turnovers, but they are coached and they are aggressive and they are try to force you. And that's what the Bills' philosophy has been this year. We're going to give you some yards. You're going to run on us, but guess what? We're going to make a critical play and take the ball away when we need to.
Well, the Chiefs haven't turned it over, Sal Capaccio, since we were up in Buffalo. I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, you have two. You know, here's what's amazing. These two great quarterbacks, right? Josh Allen, and I'll even throw Lamar in the mix until last week. We know Lamar turned the ball over a couple times last week. But you think how great Josh is, Lamar is, and Patrick are. And yet, we're still getting all these wild plays, and these guys aren't turning the ball over. It's amazing, right? They really all morphed into these guys who just say, and I know Patrick hasn't a lot in his career, as much as Josh maybe, but even Lamar, like, he really hasn't given the ball away. And it's amazing watching these guys do what they do and still be such great, you know, protectors of the ball.
I don't think there's the two best quarterbacks, I think, in the NFL. I don't think, I feel like I know that. The Chiefs, number one scoring defense, they're first, only allowing 14 points per game. Buffalo, number two, allowing 16 points per game. Is this one of those games we just throw those stats out the window and we're geared up for a 34-31 wild finish that comes down to a field goal between either, you know, Bass or it's Butker?
I'd be a bit surprised if it was that high scoring in this one. I just think both teams want to run the ball and control the line of scrimmage, especially we've seen the Chiefs kind of play like that all year. They've played close games. You know, have their record in one-score games. We know that. Now, the Bills have scored a lot of points this year. I know that as well. But I just think in this game, it's going to be about, hey, protect the football. Yeah, Andy Reid coach teams have been, to me, you know, watching football for many years, one of the best teams I've ever seen at just capitalizing on your mistakes, right? Don't make a mistake because they're going to capitalize. Well, the Bills have been that team this year. You know, they're going to make you, we're going to wait for you to make a mistake and we're going to capitalize. And I think it's kind of like that Spider-Man meme this week, right, guys, where we're going to point at you and say, yeah, you make a mistake. No, you make a mistake. No, you make a mistake. And whichever one makes a mistake, you know, the other team capitalizes. But I do think, yes, the kicking game could be big here. Butker did not play the last time these two teams played, but, you know, the Chiefs did a nice job of filling in what they had to do at kicking there. Tyler Bass had struggled this year, but he's been very good over the last month. He made a real big 51-yard kick this past week, but we also know the Chiefs' special teams have been terrific over the last several years. I know that analytically they're not as, you know, great numbers-wise, but the Bills have struggled in some special teams areas this year. They've been had on a couple of fake punts. They give up a couple of long kickoff returns. So I wouldn't be surprised if a special teams play or two makes a difference here.
Talk with Sal Capaccio of WGR, the Bills sideline reporter as well. And I hate to bring it up, but it is the only topic people seemingly in the national networks talk about are the referees and the penalties and all of that. And, you know, Houston obviously last week talked about it inside their locker room and were focused on the referees being an impact in this game, a big reason why they lost. I know you guys have to ask the questions, obviously, but do you think the referees are even a topic inside that Buffalo facility?
So I think they're a topic every week in every facility, only in so much as who's refereeing, what do they call penalties on, what do they let go, right? You guys know what I mean, right? You look at the officials and say, this crew calls more DPI, this crew calls more holding, this crew calls less of this. I think that is the case. I can't imagine the Bills are going to let that seep in as far as, you know, oh my God, the referees, they're going to take this game from us. Because if you do, as you said, you're kind of already defeated. You can't do that. I think the messaging this week is going to be, and we'll talk to the players, I'm sure people will ask about it, the messaging is going to be, look, we're going to control what we can control, and we can't let them be a part of the game. Like, we can't let them impact it. I agree with you that, you know, people are talking about, of course there are. There's all these stats that go out there and, you know, games are fixed. I don't believe any of that, right? I mean, I always say, and our morning show host, Jeremy White here, just said this morning. I agree 100%. If you think games are rigged, why do you watch, right? I mean, this isn't, we know it's not WWE and it's scripted and people watch that for the entertainment. I do think, though, there's a natural inherent bias sometimes. For all great players to get calls to go their way. Sometimes for home teams to get calls to go their way. I mean, I compare it to Michael Jordan. I'm a Yankee fan. Derek Jeter, I think, got the benefit of the doubt on balls and strikes sometimes, right? You see those things happen. There's no doubt. But you can't let that creep into your consciousness on how you play the game. I can't imagine the Bills will do that this week.
Last one here. We'll end up on a good note for you, Sal. Shout out to your fans, man. Mark yeah. Andrews getting death threats for the drops from Baltimore. Bills fans donate $45,000 to a Mark Andrews-backed charity after a divisional drop. I mean, that's a good look, man. I like to bring up the good in the world as well.
Yeah, listen, 2020, Lamar Jackson suffered a concussion at the end of the playoff game here, and his charity, and I think there's just some backpacks involved with this charity, like with their flood with donations. You guys know what Bills Mafia is about here, and how that all works, and people donating to great causes. I will tell you though, from my perspective, you know, I was at both the 92 and 94, well, I should say 91 and 93, you know, playoff games in Buffalo, and Joe Montana, Steve DeBerg. I go back a long way with that, and I would say that even since I was a kid going to games, I've always said that, you know, Chiefs fans have always been the best fans to interact with. Like, they're the most respectful. I've been around all these. I've been to these stadiums. I've been to these games at home with the fans that come in from out of town. And last week, guys, here with Ravens fans and Bills fans was so toxic. It was just unbearable on social media. It really was. And for that to happen after that toxicity that was happening between the two fan bases, and for Bills Mafia to donate to Mark Andrews, and I've heard Mark Andrews, his own fan base isn't treating him well after you know what happened. It speaks volumes. I just think it's really cool. Now, look, no one likes the Chiefs winning, right? We all want it. They're the big, bad, you know, evil team now. You got to get over that. And I think there are certainly fans in Kansas City to become entitled and tough to deal with. No doubt about it. But I do think it's been a lot better between the two fan bases because I think there's a kinship between Buffalo and Kansas City and how their fans are passionate about their team and respectful.
You're absolutely right about that. I think about the fan bases that we interact with all the time. I hate Cincinnati fans. We don't like Raider fans, all that kind of stuff. Buffalo fans, it is not a hatred. It is a respect. It is an understanding. And I think it's two fan bases that just get each other and genuinely are just nice to each other, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's tough to deal with sometimes. Nobody wants to see, nobody from Kansas City is going to want to see the Bills celebrating on their field. I can guarantee that. You guys saw that, you know, with the Cincinnati Bengals a few years ago. And, you know, nobody in Buffalo wants to have the season end again at Arrowhead the way it is. And there's going to be, there's going to be people going back and forth. You have some bad apples in every fan base. But I just think these are two great organizations, two great fan bases. And, you know, we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Too early to give us a score prediction, Sal?
Yeah, too early. I'm not going to do that. I was close last week. I said Bills 24-23. It was 27-25. So I'll give myself a little of a pat there. But, you know, I don't know, guys. I just think, again, this game's going to come down to whichever team makes a mistake or two and the other one is going to capitalize because that's how both teams have played all year.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, enjoy it. And just remember, this is the game of why we watch sports and why we love sports and why we do sports. Sal, we appreciate the time.
Yeah, and I love the barbecue there, too, so I'll see you guys this weekend.
See you, Sal.
Sal Capaccio there joining us of WGR Buffalo and the Bills sideline reporter.